6, verses 30 through 34. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You may be seated.
As I said before, I think men in our society bear a particular burden. I think women, mothers, also bear a particular burden. I was noticing McKenna's mother over there. She's dying a thousand deaths and singing every word with her daughter. Yep. She did a wonderful job. Thank you. But today is a time to talk about men and to talk about fathers. But we really need to go a little beyond that, because what's going to happen in this church is you're going to change pastors. Pastor Bob is going to become Pastor Bob. I don't know why that is, but that seems to be the case. Pastor Bob leads. I've known him for over 20 years, a wonderful man of God, a great reputation in the chaplaincy, wonderful pastor, all this. Pastor Bob Kaler, I don't know personally, but he went to my seminary, so he's undoubtedly a great guy. His doctrine is absolutely spot on, so you don't have a problem at all. When I pastored a church, and as I was a chaplain through the years, my favorite title for a pastor was shepherd. The word shepherd is used all through the Old and New Testament to describe care, to describe God's love, to describe how God deals with his people. Shepherd, to me, encompasses more of compassion and caring and showing the right path than any other word that I know. You're going to change shepherds from Bob Leeds to Bob Kaler. There's also a sense in which, however, fathers shepherd their families. The qualities that you see a shepherd have over his flock, the qualities a pastor has over his congregation, those sorts of responsibilities pertain just as well to fathers and families. And so, as you listen to this sermon, think about being a shepherd to your own flock, whether it's your own family flock or a flock that might be larger in some ways. Think about what it is to be a shepherd and how you measure yourself against these qualities. Now, I have to say, we don't particularly know much about shepherds in our culture and our society. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Not a lot of shepherds and sheep in Cleveland, Ohio. Closest I knew about sheep was lamb chops. I mean, you know. However, my background is Armenian. The Armenians traditionally were shepherds, and I remember as a child, when I was preparing these, I remembered some incidents as a child when the old folks in the Armenian community would talk about the old country and what they did and what their dads and moms did and all that. And shepherding was part of it. Shepherding was always a part of it. And so it's kind of in there, sort of in the back. A word of caution. There are many kinds of sermons. There are expository sermons in which you take a text and you explain it and go deeply into it and look into the theology surrounding it. There are evangelistic type sermons where we call you to a commitment. There are teaching sermons where all I want to do is tell you this is what's right to see and to believe in this passage of the Bible. This sermon's different. This is a devotional sermon. It will contain elements of many other types of sermons. But what you're intended to do in this sort of sermon is just take it in. Suspend your critical faculties for the next 20 minutes or so. And just take it in. This is a sermon you ought to feel. Ideally, at the end, you ought to feel loved. You ought to feel cared for. You ought to feel, in short, as sheep to the great shepherd. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word and the blessing that it is to our lives. Teach us from it, show us, and most of all, help us to feel loved. It's so rare in this world to feel loved. Help us to feel your love, as we ask in Jesus' name. There's really only well, there are many places, but this is the best place I know to talk about the shepherds, and it's from Psalm 23. Psalm 23 has been called in some ways the most beautiful song ever written. I tend to agree. We've all at least heard it or are passingly familiar with it, and some of us, because we're in the culture that we're in and not the Palestinian culture that was at the time when David wrote this, we miss a good bit of it. And so I want to go into it and talk to you a little bit about it. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's the keynote. Everything that follows is nothing more than a variation on that theme. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why do we have to think about that? Why do we have to know that? It's because there are many in the world who would be your shepherd. There are many on the outside who want you to follow them. They want you to follow a cause, and it may be a good cause. They want you to follow a particular way, and it may even be a good way. They want you to follow for whatever reasons there may be, but they aren't the shepherd. There's only one. There are those things inside yourself that push you to follow. Needs, desires, wants. All those will push you, and they want to be your shepherd as well. They want to guide you. They want to shove you in this direction or that. They want to take you and push you in a way that you may not want to be pushed, or you maybe shouldn't be pushed. There are a lot of things outside, and there are things inside that push to become your shepherd. But if you choose the Lord as your shepherd, and it is your choice, one of the greatest gifts God ever gave us was the gift of free choice. One of the most dangerous gifts that God ever gave us was the gift of free choice, because we can choose wrongly. But if the Lord is our shepherd, if we make that choice, will not be pushed around or led around by these other false shepherds. The Lord is our shepherd. We'll not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. As a shepherd wanders through the wilderness, and you have to remember, this is talking about Palestine. Just a very bad seminary joke. By the way, all seminary jokes are bad jokes, so just, you know, a little forewarning. When the angel of the Lord was in creation, the angel of the Lord was given two sacks of rocks and was told to spread rocks throughout the world. He did. He took one sack and spread rocks throughout the world, and the other sack broke right over Palestine. If you've ever been to Palestine, it's true. There are rocks everywhere. Rocks, dust, dirt, scrubby plants, scorpions, snakes. I mean, it's just not a fun place. I mean, it's not where you want to go for your vacation, unless, of course, you're a preacher or a military person. You don't know any better. But Palestine is not an easy place to raise sheep. What a shepherd does throughout the round of the day is look for green pastures for his sheep. They aren't easy to find in Palestine. And so as he looks, as he finds these green pastures, he's basically doing essentially his most important duty of the day so his sheep can find nourishment, can find rest, can find a place where they can grow and become refreshed. It's a place in the wilderness where the shepherd has prepared a place for his sheep to be at peace. When was the last time you had anyone dedicated to your peace? That all they cared about was making you a place for rest, for nourishment, for peace. All they cared about was your peace. It's not common. It's not common at all. However, the Lord, our shepherd, wants that for us. This psalm illustrates, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures, even in the midst of all the rocks and all the dust and everything else that happens to be out there." I've been in some nasty places in the world. I remember once standing in a 12-man tent where I was living, and the wind was blowing and the dust was blowing so much that I could not see the other end of the tent, and it was completely buttoned up. It was three layers all buttoned up, and the air was so thick with dust you couldn't even see. In the midst of that, he will find green pastures for you, as he did for me. He leads me beside still waters. good way to translate that, he leads me beside waters of quietness. Sheep don't like water that's running. They don't like water that's burbling down little cliffs. You know, we find that very pleasant. Sheep don't like that because if they should happen to fall into the water, because of their wool, they'll get carried down the river and they might drown. They don't swim very well. And so what sheep will shy away from water that's noisy or burbling or bubbling. But the shepherd leads them beside still waters, waters of quietness. How does he do that? Well, there's a couple of ways. He will find a little rivulet, sometimes a little bubbling brook, sometimes something in there in the midst of this desert. And what he will do is he'll take rocks and form a dam and create a quiet little pool. He creates quietness in the midst of chaos. He brings water in the midst of this dryness and this dust. He will then take his flock and sit them all down. They may be very thirsty, but they don't all rush forward and push and shove and try and get in there like we might. They wait because the shepherd sits them down. And then he brings them up group by group to drink from the waters of quietness. There may be several flocks at that same watering hole, but the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. They won't respond to another shepherd. They know their shepherd. And they will come forward when he calls. They won't come forward when another shepherd calls. They will come forward only when he calls. Are we as good at hearing the voice of our shepherd and following? In the midst of all those voices that want our attention? Good heavens, what a noise there is in our society. In the midst of all that, there's the voice of our shepherd calling. We need to respond to that voice because that's the voice that brings us to still waters, the waters of quietness. He restores my soul. The Hebrew language, whenever you translate from one language to another, it's almost never a direct translation. And so when it says he restores my soul, another way of saying that in Hebrew is he restores my life. Another way of saying it is, he restores myself. Myself. Did you ever lose yourself? Did you ever find yourself in places, you don't know how you got there? Doing things that you're not sure you really want to do? I had one man in an early congregation I served who said, "You know, Dan, I spent my whole life climbing the ladder and found out it was leaning up against the wrong building." Did you ever lose yourself? The real question in our society very often is, who are I? Who am I? Who are you? Who am I? Our shepherd restores our self, restores our life, restores our soul when we may have lost it. I know, and I will raise my hand, there are times that I'm just so boggled I can't see, hear, do anything because there's so much stuff coming and going. The voice of the shepherd leading me beside still waters, restoring myself if I stop and listen. Stop and listen. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's where that choice thing comes in again. Out on the sheep walks in Palestine, there are a lot of paths to choose from. Most of them lead to some sort of danger, whether it's falling rocks or a precipice or pits or places where there are deadly animals. There's all kinds of bad places that a sheep can wander into. It's up to the shepherd to lead them in the right paths, the paths of righteousness, the paths of rightness. And the successful shepherd, the one who is a real shepherd, does that. He knows the bad ones. He knows the ones that lead to a bad end. And he leads us in those that lead to the right end, the good end. Years ago, I used to be young enough to be a youth leader, and it was kind of neat. But I do remember the toughest thing to teach children was to do what's right because it's right. Not because you're going to get rewarded or patted on the back. Not because you're going to gain from it. But do what's right because it's right. Our shepherd leads us in the paths that are right. You want to do what's right? Follow the shepherd. You want to be in the right place? Follow the shepherd. You want to keep yourself intact in the process? Follow the shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's not uncommon in the Middle East to name things by a characteristic. And so if a child is born with flaming red hair, they may name him Redhead. The same with features of the land. Between Jerusalem and Jericho, there is a valley called the Valley of the Robbers. Why? There used to be a trade route that went through there, and robbers were there, and they would jump out and rob you. And so it got named the Valley of the Robbers. There's a Valley of the Ravens. There's all kinds of things named for what they are. What's the name here? This is the Valley of the Shadow of Death. That's difficult. That's a tough one. If I heard there was a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, I don't think I'd want to take a vacation there. Not a good thing. And yet we walk through that, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. Whether it be circumstances of life. You know, I was in the military. I was in Afghanistan, Iraq. I was shot down in an airplane. I was blown up in a convoy. Valley of the Shadow of Death. Oh, yeah. As were my friends. You have health problems? Valley of the Shadow of Death. Heck, you drive on the freeway in Colorado Springs, you're in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Good heavens, these people are nuts. I hope I'm not talking to you, but when I'm entering the freeway, please move over, if you can. Anyway, that was a little aside. No, death is all around us. Death is everywhere. Death is easy. Death is a heartbeat away. Who do you want to lead you through that valley? What shepherd out there is qualified, has the jets to do it? None that I know, with one exception. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us. Christians sometimes get the idea that if they pray, if they go to church, if they do all this good stuff, that they get a pass, a free pass out of pain. Well, Lord, I mean, I went to church every Sunday. I mean, how come it is that I lost my job? I prayed to you, Lord. Why is it that I don't have, in my case, a Porsche 911? No, Christians don't get a pass out of pain. By no means. Nor do Christians get whatever they want because they're Christians. What do we get? We get the Lord. We get God. We get our shepherd with us in everything. Are you going through troubles? Your shepherd's with you. Are you in the valley of the shadow of death? Shepherd's with you. Are you unsure of the next move? The shepherd is with you. That's the promise. You're never alone. Ever. Ever. Whatever you must face, you're never alone. Because your shepherd never leaves his sheep. He doesn't sleep. Doesn't take a vacation. Doesn't take a day off. He's with you always. As long as you are alive on this earth, he is with you. And then when you go to be with him, he's even with you there, even more. What shepherd can do that? Only one. Only one. When John was writing about heaven in the Revelation, he had these words to say. This is his description of heaven. For the Lamb that is in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. That's pretty cool. There's no shepherd I know can do that, except for one, our Lord Jesus Christ. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. At the end of the day, the shepherd needs to find a safe place for the sheep to bed down at night. And so what he will do is he'll find a place that looks good, and he will go through that place with his rod, which is a long staff that's used for defense. The staff is a crook that's used to pull a sheep back to keep the sheep safe. And he'll go through with the rod and he'll pound the ground. Driving snakes out might be in there. He'll find holes and he'll bottle them up with rocks so the sheep doesn't twist a leg or break a leg. Oftentimes these will be in little valleys and there's caves around. He'll go into those caves and drive out what might be in there that would hurt the sheep. What could be in there? Wolves, hyenas, mountain lions. All those in Palestine, the shepherd basically protects his sheep from. Occasionally, despite all his care and his effort, a wolf will come into the midst of the flock, and the sheep, they just panic. I mean, they're just bouncing everywhere, going this way and that, and the wolf basically can do what he wants because the shepherd can't get to him because the sheep are all panicky. What does the shepherd do at that point? Give up? No. Does God ever give up? No. He finds a little bit of a high place, and he stands up on it, and he makes a call, a ooing sound. The sheep know his voice and stop dead. Then they rush into the center. Often the wolf is overcome, sometimes killed. But at that point in time, the shepherd can take care of it. Even in the midst of panic, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. And so at the end of the day, the shepherd finds a place, clears it of all dangers, looks for poisonous plants and pulls them out. And then, if there's anything that there's as much of in Palestine as rocks, it's thorns. He'll make usually a thorn enclosure, a boma. And he'll leave an opening. And he sits at that opening because he is the door. He's the door to the sheepfold. Across that door, he'll lay down his rod. And once again, the sheep will sit and wait. And one by one, they'll come up to him. And he'll look them over. And if there's one that's scraped or bruised or cut, he'll take pine tar, which he carries with him, and anoint it so it can heal. If it's just tired and exhausted, he'll take olive oil and bathe its face. If it's thirsty, and they usually are, he carries a big two-handled cup with which he gives each sheep a drink. Note, each individual sheep. One by one they come up. He ministers to them. He opens, and they go in. One of the most remarkable and enticing characteristics of God, again, one that's just unlike any other God that has ever been created by man, is the fact that he cares for each and every one of us individually. I mean, I can understand caring for a flock. That's doable. But to care for each and every one totally individually, one by one by one. Wow. That boggles the mind. That's a lot. But he does. There's no other shepherd can do that. Our shepherd, he can do that. And so one by one, the sheep enter the sheepfold. He prepares a table in the presence of their enemies. We sometimes in our culture think that all of a sudden we've switched from sheeping to now this is a banquet scene. And that this psalm somehow was a sheep song, and now it's an inside banquet psalm. It is not. It's all sheep. All the word table means in Hebrew is spread out place. He prepares a spread out place for me in the presence of my enemies. That's this safe place inside. This place of comfort, this place of security, this place where the shepherd is the door. And you know what? You want to get to the sheep, you got to go through him. Not easy. Not easy. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. He anoints my head with oil. All this is the care that the shepherd gives to his sheep. He anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And at the end, when all is done under the canopy of the sky, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because the Lord is my shepherd, it's going to be okay. I hope you feel loved. because he really loves you. Amen.